Praise the Lord. Exodus 4, 1 to 12. Wrong glasses, dear. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out his hand and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak. Put your hand back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored, like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you and speak, and I will teach you what to say." This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Morning, everyone. I'm going to ask you to start this off. Could you turn to your neighbours and talk to someone near you about something which helps you pray? Something which helps you pray. And if that's a bit too personal at this time of the morning, you can just define prayer. What does prayer mean? Turn to your neighbours and have a chat with you. What helps you pray? Or just define what prayer is. I can see some pretty animated conversations going on. So clearly it's a church of vibrant prayer, which is awesome. Do carry on those conversations after the service finishes. Do carry on the conversations after tea and coffee. I'm not going to ask you to feedback, because as I say, it's quite a big question. What helps you pray? How do you pray? And prayer, talking to God. I don't know if any of you just defined prayer to one another, but prayer, talking to God, is one of the amazing gifts of faith in a living God, isn't it? But it can be sometimes a bit of a mystery. Standing in front of the one who created us, who knows what we want to say even before we say it, how do we find the depths of honesty to bring ourselves to him fully? How do we find the depths of compassion to bring others to him fully? How can we learn? How can we learn how to pray? I think that's a lifelong journey, and hopefully we can be a community who supports one another in that, as we learn how to pray together. But this passage that we've heard today gives us an insight into the prayer life of one of the heroes, one of the forerunners of our faith, Moses. I love how conversational prayer can be in some of these early books of the Bible. Moses and God speaking, conversing, Abraham and God speaking and conversing, Hagar and God. There's this real conversational quality about the way that prayer is recorded. And these stories, this repeated sense of conversation, tells me that these forerunners of our faith, Moses and Abraham and Hagar and so on, but also the communities that shared these stories, that passed them on to one another, they accepted that theirs was a God who communicated with them, who spoke in ways that they could understand. And this is a distinctive and awesome aspect of the God that we worship, of their God and ours, that their God would speak to them. And they pass on stories about how that happens. So what was Moses' prayer life like? How did Moses speak with God? And I'm intrigued by a particular moment in the conversation that's recorded that we read today. So if you want to open your Bibles, or keep them open, at the page that we just had read to us. Thanks, Joan. It's page 60. Let's remind ourselves of what's happened before now, before what we've heard today. So God has miraculously spoken to Moses out of a burning bush. That's what's happening now. Moses and God are speaking to each other, and this bush is burning right here. And there's this incredible moment. Moses takes his shoes off because it's such a holy moment. And God, the eternal, the unchanging, the almighty God, introduces himself to a flawed, broken, scared human being. It's amazing. God would introduce himself to Moses. We heard a bit about this a couple of weeks ago when Hannah... Is Hannah here? Anyway, Hannah preached on it, and I would listen online if I were you. It was a great sermon. And then, so Moses introduces... God introduces himself, and then he gives a vision. This God, the God who simply says to Moses, "I am who I am, unchanging, eternal, the ground of all being." This God says, "I have heard the cries of the oppressed. Not only do I speak, but I hear, and I will act." And he says to Moses, "Now go." God invites Moses into this wonderful, liberating work. So by any understanding, this is a life-changing moment. And maybe, just maybe, some of us here have had those moments in our prayer lives. Maybe we've had life-transforming moments when God has spoken to us. And then, coming to the reading that we've heard today, then there's the what if moment. God introduces himself and invites Moses into his transformational project. And Moses answers in verse 1 today, "What if? What if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me?" And I wonder if this sounds familiar to anyone. Is this a moment anyone has ever had in their prayer lives? I hear you, God. I hear the way in which you want to liberate all of creation. I hear your invitation. And I could make that sacrifice of money or of time that God has called me to make. But what if it leaves me short? I could pray for healing for this person. But what if nothing happens? I could speak out against that injustice in my workplace. I could come alongside the poorest people and choose to love them as Jesus does. But what if I end up looking like a fool? What if I get it wrong? What if I say the wrong thing? I could ask this friend if I could pray for them. But what if it makes our friendship kind of awkward? And it would be really easy to feel guilty about these moments or to pretend that they don't exist. But the intriguing thing and the great thing about the conversation we hear today, this insight into Moses' prayer life, is that this question in itself is not condemned. God doesn't throw Moses out of his plans because he asks a what-if question. How does God react to Moses' question, having a look back at the passage? He carries on the conversation. And I think that this might be the key for us here today. Moses carries on the conversation as well. Moses carries on listening. He asks the what if question for sure, but it doesn't end there. He carries on the conversation. We ask our what if questions. And we're not thrown out of God's plans for doing so. Being honest about our fears and our doubts, about our lives and our concerns, it seems this was absolutely a part of Moses' prayer life. And I think it should be part of ours as well, honesty. I read this on a friend's Facebook page this week. What is prayer? Prayer is ripping open your rib cage so that your heart can breathe. Anger, rage, joy, euphoria, and I would add fear. You name it and speak it and give words to it so that it's not churning down there in the depths of your being. Prayer is the practice of ruthless honesty about what's going on inside of you. You drag it all up and you vent it and you confess it and give thanks for it and rant about it and express it all in its ragged reality. Of course this changes you. How could it not? So if there is a part of you that's rumbling away with a sense of, I hear you, God, but I'm scared. Am I the right person? What if it goes wrong? I don't know what I'm doing. What if I don't have the right words? Moses shows us that expressing that fear is absolutely the way to engage in prayer with God. Ruthless, beautiful honesty, and then listening. And I'm really glad that God hears us say our what ifs and doesn't throw us out. If God only used people who never asked those questions, who never asked the what if questions, I think that would leave a lot of people disqualified from his work. Only certain personality types would ever be invited to be part of what God is doing in the world. But the truth is that God invites all of us. I think of two of my awesome nephews, Ben and Toby. They're both big tree climbers. If you see a tree, you climb on it, obviously. And I remember a tree climbing expedition with them a couple of years ago. I found a few photos of them. This is Toby, who at the time was 2.5 or 3. I couldn't find a photo of him actually climbing a tree. But Toby, at that time in his life, saw a tree trunk, an enormous tree trunk, 3 times his size, and absolutely did not ask the what-if questions. Saw a tree trunk, wanted to climb up it, no safety precautions, steadfastly refusing any offers of help. So whizzing up the tree trunk, slightly terrifying all round. Ben, his older brother, 2 years older than Toby, a bit more of a question asker, a bit more of a little bit more safety precaution in his mind. So he saw the tree trunk, he wanted to climb it, he had just a little touch of, just what if I fall off? What if something happens? Just wants to ask that question, what next? And he hears his dad, my brother, say, it's all right, I'm going to be there. It's all right. And so Ben gets up the tree trunk as well. Of course he does. There's his dad right there next to him, not actually helping him, you'll notice. But he knows his dad's there, and he gets up the tree trunk as well. Maybe you relate to Toby, 2.5-year-old Toby. Maybe you see the tree trunk, you hear God's vision, you hear his call, and without question, without hesitation, you are there, climbing the tree trunk, getting up the tree. God loves your passion, your gift, your personality. Maybe you relate to Ben. You've got a question or two. You've got a, just what if? What if? And my question for you today is, are you listening for God's reply? When you ask that question, are you listening for God's reply? If we keep on listening, what do we hear God say? Well, looking back at the passage, how does God reply to him, to Moses' what if question? God, being God, answers kind of sideways. He doesn't give a step-by-step guide of exactly what will happen next. Instead, God asks Moses to do something, to take a step of faith. And when Moses does so, God goes on to offer 3 signs of his presence and his power. God doesn't issue a script. He doesn't say, well, you'll say that, and then the people of God will say that, and then I'll come in and do that, and you'll say that, and they'll say that, and it will all work out this way. Instead, if you look in verse 8, I find this quite interesting. Look, the Lord is offering a kind of a, well, they might do this, and if that happens, they might believe the first sign. If not, maybe they'll believe the second one, and if not, maybe they'll believe the third one. This is God at work with people who have free will. God is dealing not with puppets, but with people who have free will. And so what God gives Moses is not a script, but his lively, powerful presence. And that is what is available for us to hear and receive if we will keep on listening. I'm not sure God ever really offers us a script. I'm not sure he ever offers us, this is exactly how it will go. This is exactly what will happen. But he does invite us into this lively conversation. We've got one of the guys who's coming along to our evening Alpha course at the moment, Stephen, who might be listening to this. So hi, Steve. He would say he's a man of faith. He believes in God, but he just can't get his head around Jesus. He doesn't really quite know where to put Jesus in his mind. So he's really asking questions. He really doesn't know where his faith fits in. But he's pursuing them. He's listening. He's pursuing these questions. And it's become a bit of a joke now, because now every week he comes back and gives us all the latest update of Steve's relationship with God. And he tells us about these things he's noticing, these coincidences that he keep on cropping up, things that he sort of happens to read, things that people say. And everywhere he looks, he's seeing God. He's open to the conversation. He doesn't quite know where the conversation is going, but he's listening. And what he's encountering is the lively presence of God, the lively conversation of God. This is prayer life with a living God. He doesn't work according to formulas or according to scripts. Is that what your prayer life is alive with the active conversational presence of God? This is the God we worship, a living God, who even as he talked with a doubting, scared Moses, will talk with us. Some of you may be thinking, well, I haven't even had the burning bush moment. I haven't even had God presence himself with me and invite me into his work. I haven't had that invitation. I haven't even got the beginning of this conversation to begin with. God made himself present to Moses in his space on this earth, and he said, I've heard the cry of the oppressed, and I'm coming with rescue and freedom. Now go, I'm sending you. In Jesus, God made himself present to his whole world on this earth. And he said in Luke 4, he said, he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, sight for the blind, release for the oppressed. And Jesus has said in Matthew 28, now go, make disciples of all nations. This is an invitation for all of us from a God who has made himself present to all of us. Now, some of us hearing Jesus' invitation are ready to leap up without question and follow him. And some of us have got what-if questions. If we ask those what-if questions and then listen to God, I wonder if he'll also ask us to do something, to take a step of faith. And he will reveal himself alive, present with us in power. A conversation with a living God involves steps of faith. I think that goes with the territory. Now, a number of us have been talking a bit about risk lately, so I want to end with an image and a phrase that I've kind of had rumbling around my head lately over the last month or two, which I've found a helpful way of thinking about this. It's about Jesus commanding Peter to walk out on the water, and I'm sorry that I'm mixing biblical images a little bit, but this is something I found helpful, so I hope it will help you too. So I'd like you to imagine that I am on a boat. This stage is a boat, and out here is the water. And this is the kind of image that I've had in my mind. Jesus calls Peter out on the water. And I don't know about you, but I can kid myself. I can do this. Look at me, totally on the water. My foot is absolutely out there on the water. I'm basically walking on the water. Basically, I'm walking on the water. And what God is showing me is that I'm touching the presence of God when I do this. I'm touching the faithfulness of God. I'm experiencing it. But the phrase that I've had going around with my head is that you've got to put weight into it. You've got to put weight into it. If your foot is out on the water and you're touching the presence of God, you're touching the faithfulness of God, you will never know its fullness unless you put weight into it. Unless you put weight into that foot which is touching the water. Does that make sense as a kind of an image? I think if we're touching the presence of God, we're missing out on knowing the fullness of his presence and power. We will never know if the water, we'll never know what it feels like to have the water bear us up unless we put weight onto that front foot. And here's the thing, what we're invited to put weight into is nothing less than the character of God. When Hannah spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, she spoke about the fact that when God introduced himself and said, "I am who I am," he revealed that God is eternal, the ground of all being, because he is before all being. He's unchanging. He said, "I am who I am, I will be who I will be." He's self-sustaining without dependence on anyone. This is who we're invited to put our weight into. So will we put weight into that promise, into his being, into his faithfulness, by going where he's calling us to go, even if it feels risky, even if it feels like unknown territory? That might feel like unknown territory geographically or relationally or in conversation. To new places. Will we go there, putting weight into the promise of God? God is our provider. Will we put weight into that promise with our generosity, with our hospitality? Christ is our peace. Will we put weight into that promise by entering confidently situations in which to bring his peace, his reconciliation? Will we love sacrificially? Will we give ourselves to situations that need it, knowing that in Christ God has given his whole self to us and will keep on doing so? Will we put weight into that promise? Just to give a specific, Joe prayed for our Christians Against Poverty Centre earlier on, and one of the things we're praying for as a Christians Against Poverty Centre is for befrienders, for people to come alongside those who are finding their way out of debt, not to do an extra thing in their week, but just to do what they're doing alongside someone who might appreciate just another person alongside them. Going to the playground and meeting someone else there. Going for a coffee and meeting someone else there. Watching the football and offering to meet an extra person there. That might feel like a what-if thing to do. What if I end up feeling burdened? What if it doesn't work out? Maybe that's something about putting our weight into a situation of knowing that God, who has said he will provide for us and will keep on providing for us, is faithful. So what we're going to do to finish is to practice this together. Now we're gonna listen to God, to be honest with him about our fears, and then to listen, to carry on the conversation with him, to hear his invitation. So I'm going to invite the band up to start playing, and I'm going to read that Luke 4 passage again, the passage where Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah and describes his mission. And in the time that will follow, we won't start singing straight away, so in the quiet that will follow, I invite you just to talk to God. If you want to say, "Yes, God, I hear you. Yes, Jesus, I hear you. But what if? What if this feels scary because of this or that?" Then say it. Say it to God. And listen. Listen to see what God is saying. Is he inviting you to take a step of faith? If you want to say, "Yes, Lord, I am in," then say it. And then listen. There may be some of you here who are on the fringes of faith. You may not ever really have stepped over to the part where you say, "With all my questions, with all my what ifs, I decide to trust you. I'm stepping over. I say yes to you." And if that's you, this could be a time where you might want to say that yes. With all my history, with all that I am, with all my what ifs, I say yes, I'm turning to you. Maybe that's the step of faith that's for you. Or some of you, this might be kind of a new thing to listen to God in this way. And a couple of suggestions. If you hear God, or you think you might do, share it with somebody that you trust nearby. Share it with Tim or one of the prayer ministry team up at the front. And just pray with them. Just to say, I think I might have heard this, but I'm not sure. Share it with somebody. And if you hear something which you think God might be saying, not just to you, but to the church in general, or to this wider community, come up and speak to Tim or me at the front, and we'll share it if it feels right. So let's open our ears to hear a God who speaks, a God who speaks and invites us into his work. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to read from Luke chapter 4. Lord God, we know that you speak to us, and we want to hear you. We want to be honest with you with our doubts and our fears, our excitements, our hopes and our joys. May this be a time where we open ourselves to you and we hear you in response. Jesus, thank you that you are near. Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening.